Thank you all. Our second passage this morning is from the Gospel of Matthew. It's, I would think, familiar. It's just a few verses, five verses, a short reading. But it's one of those readings that says a great deal in not a lot of words. So listen to Matthew this morning. Listen to Jesus this morning. And listen in these words for God's word to us. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus, and they asked Jesus, "Who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And Jesus called a little child to him, placed the child among them, and he said to them, "I tell you the truth, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever takes the lowly position of the child is the greatest in the kingdom. And whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me." The word of the Lord. Would you pray with me? Lord, you are good. May your goodness be known to us. May it be embraced, may it be celebrated, may it cause us to rejoice, and may what we say and do share with the world that you are indeed good. In Christ's name we pray, amen. So if you know me, if you've been in church for a while, not a surprise. I'm not a decoration guy, and that's especially true when it comes to the church. I get a little nervous when we change things in the sanctuary, when we add things, even flowers and streamers and banners. I tend to think maybe we don't really need them. I'm in terms of the church, I'm a little bit of a curmudgeon, and thankfully I'm finally getting old enough that that kind of works. I can pull that off a little bit. So a year or so ago, Lynn Peterson from the worship committee approached me and she said, "Clint, I want to make a new communion tablecloth." And I thought, well, we have four. We have liturgical colors. We have a white one, a green one, a purple one, and a red one. We use them throughout the year. Not sure we need another tablecloth, but in the church, you generally try not to say no to someone that has a vision and a passion and is volunteering to do something. So, Lynn, that would be fine. And the cloth you see on the table this morning, that's the one that she did. It says "Hands of God," and it looks great. It adds some color. I guess that's important and decorating kind of stuff. And until a few weeks ago, I would have said that it's fine. It's nice. It's good. It covers the table. And then I saw something and it changed my mind completely. And I think I got it. And I think it actually was for me a vision of what it means to be the church. And since that day, this tablecloth has become my new all-time favorite communion table cover, surpassing the purple one. 3 or 4 weeks ago at our second service, it was the children's time, just like we did this morning. We have the kids come forward. They were on this side of the chancel, and they were meeting with Jan Beloit, and there was a young girl, a small girl that came forward with them. About that age where it probably does more good for her coming forward than anything that actually happens up here. You know, the kid, the attention span is about that long. Some of us, that happens. So she's sitting over kind of right here at the corner of the communion table, and she's watching Jan for a while, and then she's not watching Jan anymore, and she's touching the communion cloth, and then she begins to kind of move it a little bit. And then she notices this, you can see it here, this red handprint down in the left-hand corner. And she takes her hand and she puts it on there. And I'm watching this, and of course my first thought is, oh, I hope her hands are clean. But it catches my attention, and I think then she tries a couple of other handprints, but she comes back to the red one, and she sets her hand in it, and then she turns around with this big smile on her face, as if that's her actual handprint, like she made it. And I watched her, and at some level it occurred to me, I had this thought that what she was doing, in the way that a small child would, is asking, is this my place? Do I fit here? Am I part of the family in this place? And I don't know if it happens to you, but preachers, if you're a person that has to preach regularly, you're always on the lookout for sermon illustrations. And I knew right away I had seen one. In fact, I thought perhaps I had seen a whole sermon. Is there a place here for me? That's not just a kid's question. In my time hanging around churches, I've heard adults and children and youth and elderly ask this question. I've seen it and heard it from people without a lot of resources who show up and are kind of intimidated by the nice cars in the average Presbyterian parking lot. I've heard it from people who want to wear ties to church and people who wouldn't be caught dead wearing a tie to church. People who love the way that church always was, and then something changes and they say, I don't know if I still fit. People who love new ways of doing things, and sometimes the church refuses to change and they say, is that place for me? People with conservative ideas or liberal ideas, is there a place there for me? Not long ago, I got a call from a couple. They were looking for a new church for whatever reason. We began to talk. We talked through some church stuff. They asked some questions. I answered questions. And then it was going pretty well. Until one of them asked, would you call your church progressive? I said, probably not, but mostly because I wouldn't want to call it anything. I just want to call it church. And they said, thank you, and hung up, and I didn't hear from them again. Well, that girl reminded me that Sunday morning is that we are all looking for our place, the spot where our handprint fits and we can be included in the family, where we're welcome, where we're accepted, where we can grow. We all want that. Perhaps the most interesting part of that question, this is the tough part of being church, is that the answer, is there a place there for me, is literally in the hands of the rest of us. It is answered by how we welcome people, how we treat them, how they see us treat each other. It's not like a puzzle piece where someone comes in and we say, yeah, you got the right clothes, we need that color, you're a straight edge, bang, you go here. It's like a quilt or a painting where we say, sure, we can find a way to make that work. We can make room for you. You have a place here to grow. We all do. The disciples asked Jesus, who's greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Jesus talked about the kingdom of heaven all the time. The disciples are curious. They want to know what the ladder looks like. Who's up there on the top, Jesus? And the Greek word for greatest is a word that you know. You might not know that you know some Greek, but you do. It's the word mega. Mega sale, mega sized, mega roller coaster. It's big, it's important, it's strong. Who's mega, Jesus? Who's at the top? Who's in charge? Who's right? Who's number one? Who's the biggest and best in the kingdom, Jesus? That's what we're wanting to know. And Jesus does such a Jesus thing to do. You want to know who's big? And he gets a child, literally a small one, a little one. And he says, you know, unless you become like a little one, you might not even get into the kingdom of heaven. You need to change. The scorekeeping, the hierarchy, the arrogance, the ambition needs to go away. You need to leave that behind if you're going to be walking toward the kingdom. Jesus says, whoever humbles themselves, literally lowers themselves. Whoever lowers themselves finds the kingdom. The disciples want to know who's the best. And Jesus says, be the least. Lower yourself in order to exalt God. Don't be busy trying to lift yourself up. That's the wrong path. It doesn't lead to the kingdom. Be like a child looking for her place, growing into her faith. Learn from the little one. Then Jesus leaves the disciples with this: whoever welcomes a little one in my name welcomes me. And the word welcome means what we think it means: receive warmly, take in, make room for. And obviously that's a call to the church to care for children, to raise young people in the faith. It's been said that the church is always one generation from extinction. And I don't really buy that, but I do think it's never far from being empty. Yes, teach kids the faith. Michael mentioned Sunday school teachers, recharge teachers, parents, shepherds. All of that matters. Teach kids the faith. But there's also a deeper question, I think, here for the church. Who do we make room for? Is there any class? Is there any color? Is there any whatever that's not welcome here? There shouldn't be. Does that mean that anything goes in the church? No, it doesn't mean that. But it does mean that anyone who is exploring what it means to follow Jesus has a place here. They are welcome to try their hand and see if it fits, in the hope that we will all discover that we are children of God, that we all are part of the family. I don't think it matters if you're 7 or 70, if you're black or white, if you're rich or poor, conservative, progressive, or whatever. This place isn't about that stuff. This place is about Jesus, the living Christ, who, when asked about being great, said, be humble and welcome God's children in my name. And church, that's our job. That's our calling. To introduce children of all ages and types to the God who loves them. Before we give them the correct answers, before we teach them our way of doing things, before we talk theology and issues, before we ask them to volunteer and help us with our stuff, we tell them they are loved. We welcome them. We tell them they have a place in this family, a place where they, like the rest of us, can grow in faith, a place where we can follow Jesus together. It's a tragic irony of the history of the church that many of our great fights are about who can be included and who is or isn't welcome, who does and doesn't have a place, whose handprint gets to be on the family wall and whose doesn't. And Jesus says, all are welcome. That's the wrong path. Arguing about better and worse. This isn't that kind of place. All are welcome. And yes, we know in the long run, it's not that simple, but to start with, it is. So we welcome all of God's children in this place, and then we grow together to discover what discipleship looks like. And if you want to see what this looks like, it's the right day. We have communion this morning. A personal invitation to experience again the grace of Christ who gave himself for each of us. His life to make our life new. So I want you to look at the table. I want you to see again the one who invites us to it. And as you do this morning, I'd encourage you, take a look at the tablecloth as well. And you know what? As you come forward this morning or maybe after church, feel free to try on a handprint or two. Find one that fits, that feels right, that makes you smile. Because in the name of Jesus Christ, you have a place here. We all do. Amen.